Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number on day two of the death of comedy. Michelle Bachmann, a lot of, you know what, in memoriam, you're leaving Congress. There's a spate of great articles, including my good friend Michael Tomosky in the Daily Beast wrote a great piece. People mourning the loss of, comedically.
Sure.
Not politically in any way, but, and also very concerned, because we're helpers, about Marcus Bachmann or her husband.
Her loving, doting husband.
Right, who apparently, reportedly, does not want to leave. Congress is very actually upset about this. We check in now in the hidden microphone. Marcus. Marcus. He has really gotten overwrought since yesterday.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Wow, you had a chorus brought in.
I seem dressed as Tina Turner.
Telling us he's not going.
No, he's in a sequin dress.
Right.
Ah.
Right. Well, you are going. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Some people just do not want to give up congressional spouse status. All right. That is just so sad. I don't know what to say about that.
Uh-oh. Oh,
my box has been mislabeled. Oh, there it is. Okay.
What? Uh-oh.
There was some slippage in my box.
On your label? Mm. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
We need to put labels on everything for
right?
you.
Right? At a certain age.
I know.
What is that?
What does that do?
What's this thing here?
What's this button?
What's this button for?
I used to know what that button was for. Oh, Michelle. She has us all just overwrought.
That Michelle, I want to say that someone's gay, like Liberace gay. I will save my words and look the other way, just like you, my Michelle.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. See, that's the more current reference, Liberace Gay, because of Behind the Candelabra.
Right.
I use the what I used is Richard Simmons on Gay Crack Gay. That's what I use in Sex and
okay.
Liberal. That gay. Allegedly.
Charlie Pierce is...
It's Liberace strolling into a sex club with a full-length mink coat gay.
With Matt Damon boyfriend gay.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Baby boy.
We speculated yesterday there is someone in his life he calls baby boy. We don't know who.
Sure.
We're just saying. And he may frequently go out for eye cream for baby boy. And why not? And maybe be preparing surgery for him to look exactly like him. Right, exactly. All right. Oh, we found him. Here he is. Yes, indeed.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Bullfightstrategies.com. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. That Michelle Bachmann, I heard that as soon as they posted that YouTube video of her saying that she's not running again,
yes,
that Marcus Bachmann, who happened to be at a truck stop off the interstate in Minneapolis, dropped right to his knees.
Yes.
And begin to pray.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, as we all know, it's Minneapolis Airport that makes you gay. So,
yes.
What do you think of that?
Right? Yeah. Carl Frisch, you tweeted, Michelle Bachmann announces she's going to spend more time with her family. Marcus better pray the gay away harder.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, eek! More time with... yikes!
Like we said yesterday, he needs to hide his porn now.
Well, among other things.
He's got to hide everything. The dog outfits, I mean, everything, the corn dog collection, all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is great news for anybody who cares about Congress. I fear, though, that the one thing that's being left out here is that while Michelle Bachmann may be going away, she's leaving plenty of crazy people in Congress to do her bidding.
Yes. Yeah. That's someone else was making that point that Ted Cruz is just her in a McCarthy mask, right?
Yeah. It's not like Michelle Bachmann was like a rogue crazy person.
Right. In a way, it goes to Bob Dole's point, doesn't it? You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
That's become what this Republican Party is, and she may be the most comedically rich, but right.
Oh, sure.
Right.
I mean, she's dumb as a box of rocks, but Bob Dole was right. There's no room in this party for anybody like Bob Dole. There probably wouldn't be room for anybody like Jack Kemp. Or
right.
George H.W. Bush, or Ronald Reagan, or Barry Goldwater. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And you speak as a former Republican, of course.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly no room for me, but I'm pretty damn progressive. I mean, there's not room for even traditional conservatives in that party.
Yeah.
People that value what they would consider economic conservatism and, you know, staying out of people's bedrooms and personal lives. I mean, I certainly don't agree with even more traditional conservatism, but it's a lot more sane, and there is no room for it in this modern GOP.
And, you know, the other sad thing in terms of this economy and the unemployment rate is fact-checkers. Fact-checkers probably more in mourning than than us comedians.
Well, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I believe PolitiFact did just give up on fact-checking her at a certain point.
Right.
Saying, you know what?
Right.
We can't do it. We can't keep up.
Right. They actually said, we will all miss Michelle Bachmann. She kept the truthometer busy and occasionally made it burst into flames. She cited our work once during a debate saying that we had rated all her claims from a previous debate to be true. But alas, she was wrong and earned another pants on fire.
Well, and, you know, to which Marcus replied, who you calling flamer?
What?
Who's
fans? What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It is a day of mourning over in Fact Checker land. I love the Washington Post Fact Checker called for a day of national mourning, saying Bachmann is not just fast and loose with the facts. She is consistently and unapologetically so. No other lawmaker has earned as high a percentage of four Pinocchio ratings as Bachmann.
Well, I mean, she's going to go spend more time with her family in the birthplace of John Wayne Gacy.
Right.
I mean, it's true. And, you know, the sad thing is that while it's very funny, and she was very funny, unintentionally so, the things that she said, even if they sounded crazy, it's what most Republicans believe.
Right.
I mean, when you see these polls that say that most Republicans think that Benghazi is the biggest scandal of all time.
Right.
That's Michelle Bachmann. When they say that they don't know where Benghazi is. That's Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so on. This is the modern GOP, and that's acceptable there. And let's remember, she's got some kind of weird element of the fringe in that party. She's one of the biggest fundraising members of the House of Representatives.
Yeah. Every time someone says something crazy, a little Michelle Bachmann guardian angel gets its wings. Pardon me?
I said that's right.
Yes. By the way, speaking of which, you saw in her hostage crisis tape, she said, this decision was not impacted in any way by recent inquiries into the activities of my former presidential campaign or my former presidential staff.
Of course not.
Quite coincidentally, a trial date has been set in the Iowa lawsuit.
Really?
Alleging that Michelle Bachmann stole and misused an email distribution list from an Iowa homeschool group during her failed 2012 presidential campaign. And on that very morning was when she announced that she would not be running anymore. I'm sure that's a coinky-dink.
Well, I mean, it's obviously coincidence. Although, the first time, I heard you call it a hostage tape. That's not very nice. Do you know how hard it is for her to keep focus on one camera in the room?
Exactly.
Those are like, everybody was, of course, doing the greatest hits tapes last night, and I know the one with her not looking in the right camera is just, she was so Saturday Night Live skittish, wasn't she?
Have you ever heard of anybody resigning from Congress putting out an 8-minute YouTube video and spending the first 5 minutes of saying, here are all the reasons that I'm not retiring. These are not the reasons at all.
Right.
I'm not retiring because my staff hates me and I have a tremendous turnover.
Of course.
I'm not retiring for the ethics investigation in Congress.
Of course.
I'm not retiring because I almost lost re-election in a safe district and might lose re-election if I keep running. I have every confidence I would win again. I'm not retiring because Marcus is threatening to redecorate yet again.
I somehow in my own mind, I saw like...
March in!
There should just be, you know, rolling Chiron going bull, bull. Everything I'm saying is bold.
Although she carefully worded some of it, which I know is saying
a lot. Not that I knew of. There was nothing going on that I knew of.
Well, she also said, that I will not be running for Congress again in this district.
Look
out, America.
Oh, no.
I mean, we may be seeing the launching of a new reality show.
Maybe she'll move to Alaska.
Or she could be running for Senate against Al Franken.
That's we heard that rumor. Right. Have you heard that?
So you'd have one of the smartest liberals and funniest people in the Senate versus one of the most unintelligent conservatives who's unintentionally funny in the House.
Yes, well, exactly, exactly. I mean, I don't know if that rumor is true or not, but we had suggested, Oklahoma weather. You know, I'm just saying, wherever there's the best show tune about would be.
Marcus, where are you? Out here in a hurry with a Surrey with a fringe on top.
Blow high, blow low, away we will go.
let's you know what, even everybody can play. Listener Adam in Illinois wants to get in on the fun on our, you know, missing Bachman moment.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God.
I am not here as anybody's judge.
Wonderful. Let's appreciate and value everyone's cultures. But not all cultures are equal.
But the Lord says, be submissive. Wives, you are be submissive to your husbands.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
Fabulous.
So yes, I've very much been a part of the solution, and it's insulting to say that these are political speech, because that's one thing I do not do.
No.
Is political speech.
What does God say when he looks at you, or when he looks at me? He wants to say, she's hot. He's hot. Because we are hot for him on the inside. Amen?
Wow. We have to today make a covenant. Let's let our wrists be blood brothers on this thing. This will not pass.
There's a wrist. The shot was heard around the world at Lexington and Concord. And you put a marker in the ground.
Well, what I want them to know is, just like John Wayne was from Waterloo, Iowa, that's the kind of spirit that I have, too.
Let's all say happy birthday to Elvis Presley today. Happy birthday!
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Well, that's rude.
That was beautiful.
Wow.
That was great.
I'm going to miss her so much.
I knew that would make you tear up.
Wait a minute. Slit our wrists? Yeah,
I know.
Blood brothers? What?
I hadn't even heard some of those. Yeah. Have you, Carl?
No.
I
love hearing the barbarians stuff from Marcus. That always makes me chuckle.
That always makes me laugh. And apparently we're hot for Jesus?
Yep.
Wow. Weird. Okay. Someone was writing, too, that the hostage tape, that the music behind it, that it actually would have been weirder without the music. That's how weird it was.
There's a lot of weird elements to it. I mean, she didn't blink the entire time.
No.
The whole composition of what she said was just strange.
Yeah.
Is this, you know, the reason that everybody thinks she's retiring, saying this, is if that would keep anybody from writing it? It's like, oh, she's retiring. Oh, put that in there. She said that's not why.
All right, Carl, thank you for spooning me through this hard time for both of us. I appreciate it.
You know what? This is just the first stage. You know, tomorrow you'll probably be thinking this just can't happen. This isn't happening.
I know. Denial. I understand. All right. I love you. I'll see you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. Stiff upper lip, everybody.
See.
Okay.
When you become blood brothers, you break your thumb.
Yeah.
You don't slit your wrists.
No. What the?
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Oh, heavens. All right.
She doesn't even know how to do that correctly.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Or maybe she's suicidal.
Oh, dear.
And
20
who can blame her?
After the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
All right. That is unhelpful. Jim does not need any help with his research in that regard.
It's news on Gawker.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And what is the news? What was the headline?
Lesbian couple engages in hardcore PDA on Aussie train.
I'll say. Damn.
Not safe for work.
No. Okay, then.
Ask if she needs any help with that.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
Apparently not.
Okay.
And clean up on row H.
They clearly don't look like they need any help.
No.
Okay. 1-800.
They got it covered.
And Jim is a helper in that regard, trust me. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. He's not as hot as Michelle Bachman is hot for Jesus, but
right.
We're hot for the Lord.
Okay. What? All right. Ron and Utah.
We slit our wrists and become blood brother. What?
No. Doing it wrong.
Her staff once told a Daily Beast reporter she gets all of her facts from WorldNet Daily.
Ah.
Oh, boy.
Right. Okay. Hello,
facts,
Ron.
Says, quotation marks.
Yes.
Around it.
Hello, Ron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Yeah, I just was thinking we're giving her an awful lot of credit for all the things that she's done when she was put on intelligence by John Boehner.
She was put on what?
She's put on the intelligence committee.
I know. It's another punchline.
So John Boehner, I mean, where's his thinking at? And it's not just the Tea Party, but it's the whole entire, I mean, to me it is. They've all gone so far right.
Right, yeah. Well, at least his question might finally be answered in terms of who's going to jail. I think we know who it might be.
Uh-huh.
Don't
That's
we?
Not what I meant.
Me.
Oh, crap.
Actually, let's do the, this is Michelle yesterday.
This decision was not impacted in any way by the recent inquiries into the activities of my former presidential campaign or my former presidential staff.
No. Okay, who chose that music? That music is really, really troubling me because it does not fit the mood of the piece.
Right, and the fact that it came out at 2:30 in the morning is just...
Well, she was in Russia. Where she could look at Sarah Palin's house.
Right.
Or Marcus hadn't returned from IML yet.
Right. As I mentioned,
what are you in trial date,
quite coincidentally, was set the same day. That morning, at the trial, the trial scheduled for May 14th, according to court records. As you said, she...
Has nothing to do with that. No. Where did you get that idea?
No. Dave in Minneapolis on Michelle Bachman. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Mama.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, quickly, do you think he was at IML or Bear Pride?
Either one.
Yeah.
Who can say?
Who can say and who wants to?
Where are the bears?
Bears. Honey, your favorite one is right here.
You cuddle bug.
But anyway, Michelle, it was interesting. Before your show started this morning, I was listening. An announcement had come out that somebody from the GOP has announced he's going to run against Al Franken. And the thought occurred to me, isn't that interesting? The day after Michelle Bachman does her stunt, we get an announcement about a GOP candidate running against Al Franken. And I get the feeling that... the GOP is going, oh, great, you know, we don't need this. Because I can't imagine her garnering a whole lot of respect or, she'll get followers, definitely. But she would be just a death knell for a Republican senator. And when I was talking to Travis about this, he said, but she could sure stir up stuff at a convention, which is exactly what she would love. She would adore that.
Yeah. But, I mean, is that a real rumor, though, that she might jump into that race?
I haven't heard. It's too early. I mean, we've all been too busy, you know, and drinking because we're giddy.
Right.
So there's been really no conversation about her at all that I'm aware of. And I'm a fairly, you know, I pay attention to the news pretty closely. Of course, I get it all from you.
I wasn't sure that was a hopeful comedian that threw that out there or whether it was a real political, rumor on the ground in Minnesota.
Listen, if she were paid a nickel for every time a joke was made about her, she could quit and move to, to Switzerland where she wants to live so badly.
Yes.
And it's amazing what she's done.
Don't go, our little Swiss miss. We will miss you.
And your little marshmallows.
Exactly. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Relax. This is just temporary. Like lesbianism at women's colleges.
Right.
Or on trains in Australia.
Some phases are longer than others. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by our brand-new sponsor, Wix. All right.
Yay.
Yeah. Oh, are you emulating Michelle Bachman?
Yay!
Yeah. Awesome. Someone might need a new website.
Okay. All the criminal things I have not done yet.
Exactly. One thing I do know, Jim, and that is Marcus will survive. Yes, he will. Finally. First, I was afraid. I was a wee bit petrified, wondering if I'd ever live without you by my side. Because I spent so many nights watching gay porn on my TV, and I grew strong. I learned how to get along. And now the real Marcus is back. From that dark place, I'm gonna let my trolley roll all over the place. Go ahead, Michelle, change the lock. Throw away the key, cause I'm not coming back. I'm gonna find me a barbarian to free. Here I go. I'm walking out the door. Don't chase me. Here I go. Whatever you do, Michelle, don't wear white after Labor Day. I told you that I don't know how many times. I'm not gonna be here to remind you. I'm not gonna be here anymore.
Clang, went the trolley. And ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell. I'm free.
Wow, didn't realize you was a soprano.
Somebody was up drinking and making comedy bits.
Yep.
Audra in Minneapolis.
Wow.
Something went a little crazy. I think, you know what it is? Everybody's a little giddy.
Marcus went a little crazy.
Yes. All right, but he is free. It's very touching. Yep. Okay. All right, Michelle Bachman, once again yesterday.
I have every confidence that if I ran, I would again defeat the individual who I defeated last year, who recently announced that he is once again running.
Yes, no.
No. He says no.
Not according to the latest polling, which has him ahead, which is probably coinciding.
I'm quite confident.
Okay. Yeah. Mediaite also in mourning.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. All of us. We were talking about she has now put out a bunch of fact checkers out of work. Thanks. Thanks, Michelle. Some of the Mediaite writes, feeling quite blue, namely fact checkers. Bachman, a unique brand of inaccurate. Washington Post fact checker Glenn Kessler even called for a national day of mourning. I mentioned she got the highest percentage of four Pinocchios of any congressperson. That's hard to replace. Kessler went on to chronicle her greatest hits. Those included her claiming that she didn't say anything inaccurate in the debates.
Right.
That she voted against the sequester because of cuts to the poor, and that President Obama has a $1.4 billion a year presidency of perks and excess.
Huh?
What now?
What?
Okay. Yes, and as I said, PolitiFact and the Washington Post, they also chimed in. We will miss Michelle Bachman. And that he was the one that talked about the truth of media.
Yeah.
Sometimes actually exploding. The most pants on fire. Okay. Maybe it's because she's so hot for Jesus.
That's oof.
I had not heard that one before. Of all the Michelle Bachman crazies, I had not heard that one.
She's hot for a 2,000-year-old Jew.
It's not uncommon for an evangelical to say that, though.
That we're hot for Jesus?
Yeah. It's just weird. It's just, it's their way of modernizing their relationship with Jesus, I think.
Mm. John Evlon at the Daily Beast. Michelle Bachman has done her hostage tape to reality. Our long national nightmare is over, John writes. Well, that's overstating it, but the congresswoman who represented the worst of modern American politics, more than she ever tried to represent her Minnesota constituents, has announced she will not run for re-election. Smiling stiffly through an 8.5-minute video on her website, Bachman again illustrated the palpable strangeness, the earnest, fact-free, Kool-Aid-chugging self-obsession that characterized her congressional career. And her rolling disaster of a presidential campaign. She wants the world to know the decision was not impacted.
Oh, God.
As not, anyway, not at by all. Recent inquiries.
That's ridiculous. Where'd you get that idea?
John Evelyn writes, in a word, bull. And he said there is inevitably a rambling quality. It's sort of like a video manifesto, really. Mm-hmm. to the 8.5-minute monologue. This is Bachman's hostage video to reality. The staff decision to back her vocal track with a faint Springsteen-esque music was a tell. The video would have seemed even odder without it. They were just hoping to drown out a little bit of the crazy, maybe? Just distract you for a minute?
Well, the music didn't match the tone of her speech, and so that's why it was so disconcerting, you know, as someone who puts music underneath things pretty much for work.
I think Anarchy for the UK would have been more.
Yes.
It just was...
Don't blame Marcus. He's only the choreographer. He's not the music director.
Thank God.
Avalon, though, ends on a serious note. He said, without attempting to characterize her personal life, the way Bachman chose to use her time at the podium of public service was a disgrace. She degraded the national debate, consistently chose fear-mongering over facts, exhibited every impulse of the demagogue and the ideologue. If she ever bothered to do her homework, she could have been dangerous. Instead, Bachman will stand as a sad cautionary tale, a curious footnote used to explain the reality show auditions of the 2012 GOP presidential primaries, now all part of her real tape as she attempts to get what she always really wanted, a Fox News contract.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I'm like, how quickly is that going to happen? Oh, that'll happen.
Lord, the day is at hand when I'll have my own show on Fox.
Is it Roger Ailes? Oh, damn it, Marcus. Get off the phone. Jim and Minneapolis.
Marcus calling sex lines.
Yes, get off the phone. She's going to be like Norma Desmond waiting for a minute for a Mr. DeMille's call. Is it Mr. Ailes? Okay. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, when gay marriage takes effect August 1st, how soon will it be before Marcus leaves her for Ann Coulter?
Oh, that's... See what you did there? That was a whole little bouillabaisse. Amity. Yeah, it's, you know what? That's exactly what happened, Chris. It's the Congress is still small, big. She just got what? I can't figure it out. You know what I mean. Norman doesn't.
Yeah, Michelle is big. It's Congress
that's
small.
Right, that's Congress that got small.
Small, yes.
Has my fan mail arrived, Max? Was Mr. Ailes cold?
Max!
I'm ready for my close-up. Hello.
They only want her for her car.
Exactly.
There's not enough Vaseline in the world to get that lens.
John and Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hey, I don't think I've heard this mentioned, but she is going to stay in power or stay in office until the end of 2014. And she's a lame duck, and she was a bomb thrower when she needed to get elected.
Right.
And so what the hell is she going to do now? I mean, she's still got power. She's still on a major committee. She could really do some damage.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That she's on the House Intelligence Committee is like a jumbo shrimp.
Yeah, that's...
Just hurry up, Roger. Call.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Come on, please. Give her a jingle, please. Casey in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Casey.
Hey, Stephanie the Moose, how you doing?
Hello. Go ahead.
Hey, so every time you talk to a right-wing Tea Party nutbag and you talk about Marcus Bachman being gay, everybody goes, well, what are you talking about? I'm like, it can't be more obvious.
They just don't see it, I guess.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I'd like to, you know, one thing that'd be funny as heck is to listen to Jim sing happy birthday in the Marcus Bachman voice, and I don't know to who, because it's not my birthday.
All right, we'll figure it out. It's probably somebody's birthday. All right, Sue in Rockville, do we have your jingle ready? We don't.
No.
Okay, Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question.
What's that?
If Michelle is more like Pinocchio, does that make Marcus the Blue Fairy?
Yes.
Everybody get it out of your system. Get it out of your system. All right. Do we have our jingle to say goodbye? No, we don't have it. We're sorry. We lost your jingle.
No, we have it. It's just I can't get to it right now.
All
I'm
right.
getting an error.
I forgive you all. I love you all.
All right.
No problem.
All right. Love you back.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. I think everybody, you know what? We're just easing the grief. Everybody is just, it's a letting go
thing. Am I blue?
Right. He's the Blue Fairy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Had me feeling like she's ready to blow. Yeah.
Look out, Jim. I'm ready to blow. 49 minutes after
the
hour.
A long time.
Yeah, were you on an Australian train?
1-800 Steph12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, not safe for work. Okay.
Totes not safe for
right,
work.
Right, right, totally. All right, we've all been collectively dealing with our grief over the comedic loss of Michelle Bachmann,
mm-hmm.
the bat congresswoman from the great state of Minnesota. So I thought I would do it, you know, somebody having a worse day than you.
All right.
Man with a pencil jammed in his head for 15 years removes pencil from head.
Why did he wait 15
years?
Yeah,
why didn't he do it sooner?
He's just a procrastinator, I guess.
Right? I've been meaning to get that pencil
getting around
out of my
to
head.
It. Yeah.
Just saying, no matter how bad, because I'm having a bad
life.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a pencil stuck in my head as far as I know. Although maybe I do. That explains a lot.
That would explain
why I'm
a
having
lot.
A bad
life.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Doctors from, Jim, you can do that. Aachen University
Aachen.
Hospital in
right.
Germany. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Have just announced the successful removal of a 4-inch pencil from the head of an Afghan man who spent 15 years blithely unaware that there was a pencil.
How can you be unaware of a pencil being in your head?
Gawker writes, after over a decade of suffering from headaches, frequent colds, and the terrifying realization he was growing steadily blind in one eye.
Frequent cold is because he's leaking brain fluid.
Right. The man finally decided to swing by the hospital to see what was up. Like, am I sick? Do I have a pencil in my head? Turns out he had a pencil in his head.
I have a pencil in my head. What do you know?
Would that be on the list of things you'd ask? Yeah. Do I by any chance have...
What? I can't hear you. There's a banana in my ear.
Or maybe a protractor on my ass? I don't...
What
do you think is wrong? The man said he did not...
Kopf.
The man said he did not know how the pencil came to be inside his head.
Wow.
Just like how you don't remember every little thing that happened in your day.
Sure.
Stop pestering me. I don't know.
Aachen, by the way, is the town where Charlemagne was crowned Holy Roman Emperor in 800 AD.
Oh. Why, thank you, Jim.
Wow.
No
on
one
Christmas
knows
Day.
Much German fun facts as Jim.
Human Wikipedia over here.
Yikes. Yikes. Yeah, no word if there was alcohol in the involved in the pencil-related incident. However, this may be my favorite drunk stack ever.
Ever?
Drunken man crashes car while having sex, hides in a cactus.
Oh.
Now... If you've just been having sex, chances are you're partially unclothed. Hiding in a cactus seems like a really bad idea.
See, we've all made one bad drunken decision just to make
that
like
series
of drunken decisions.
Maybe
in
he had a
row.
Pencil in his head, too.
Right. I'm sorry. I had a pencil in my head. A 25-year-old Arizona man arrested, as you might be.
Sure.
Driving while heavily intoxicated, having sex with a woman in his lap while driving the car under the influence, ran a red light, crashed into another car. The... He attempted to flee the scene, but a witness grabbed his keys, so he got out of his car and attempted to hide inside a cactus.
How do you hide inside a cactus?
Maybe it had, you know, multiple arms, that kind of thing.
Did it have a zipper on it, so you could, like it's like an Acme cactus where you can open it and climb inside.
Hide in
an Acme cactus suit.
I'm going to try the movable hole in the mountain next. From inside the cactus, he refused police demands and reportedly became hostile with paramedics. And then while in the back of the police car, he refused to keep his pants on. A bottle of vodka was found in his empty vehicle.
Of course.
That explains that. Hey, what's a better idea than having sex and pulling on my lap while I'm driving really
drunk
fast drunk?
On vodka.
I know. I'll hide
in
the cactus.
Cactus. It can only get better from here.
Yeah. Not everybody in Arizona is like
it
that.
It does only get better. He should do a video. It only gets better
gets
after
better.
That.
Yeah. Really. Sounds like it happened in Apache Junction.
Okay. You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
That's where the people like that live.
Oh, dear. Uh-huh. Oh, dear. Oh, heavens. All right.
You know the entire cast of Raising Arizona? They all live in Apache Junction. It's that kind of people.
Boy.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Hey, speaking of the level of debate in this country, political or otherwise, we've got to talk to some gun folks ourselves.
Enthusiasts?
Right. They have enthusiasms, Jim, regarding guns.
Enthusiasms. Right? Enthusiasms.
Oh, I told you the story. Our friend Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald, mm-hmm. doing a gun control rally with Governor Rendell back in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And she was approaching the stage in a pretty flowered dress, as she's wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
And someone yelled Nazi at her before she started speaking. And they were all, like, armed, and they were, like, pointing guns at her. And she was scared. That's the level of our debate. And now, two letters addressed to New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Mayor...
If you're
Mayor's...
pointing guns at someone for no reason, you're the Nazi.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, addressed to Mayor Bloomberg and the Mayors Against Illegal Guns group, believed to be the deadly poison ricin. The letters referred to the debate on gun laws. The NYPD said initial tests on the two letters opened in New York and D.C. indicated the presence of ricin. Emergency workers who came in contact with the letters showed minor symptoms of ricin exposure. Mayor Bloomberg.
The letter was obviously referred to our anti-gun efforts, but there's 12,000 people that are going to get killed this year with guns and 19,000 that are going to commit suicide with guns, and we're not going to walk away from those efforts.
Isn't that sort of proving the point, the person that sent them ricin letters, that some people shouldn't have weapons of any kind,
sure.
including...
ricin and guns?
Including, let's just say, ricin. Right.
You know who really shouldn't have a gun? Wayne LaPierre.
Right.
Apparently he was on a range once, and there was someone, like, filming it, and he called his name, and he turned around, pointed the gun at the guy. And
right.
So now the curse in the NRA is send someone hunting with Wayne, because he can't be trusted with guns.
No. Mayor Bloomberg again yesterday.
I'm not angry. There are people who I would argue do things that may be irrational, do things that are wrong. But it's a very complex world out there, and we just have to deal with that.
All right. He was a little more placid than I would have been. Okay.
That's kind of his thing, though. You know, he's always, like, rock steady.
I'm sorry
whatever.
You had to see me like this.
Yeah.
I'm livid.
And I know I speak for all of the close to 1,000 mayors in Mayor's Coalition Against Guns. This is a scourge on the country that we just have to make sure that we get under control and eliminate.
Yeah, that's easier said than done.
Yeah. All right. But let's hear it for them. They're doing great work.
Yep.
They really are, you know. And it affected some races already, so good for him. All right. What scandal have we moved the wheel of scandals today to find out which scandal is... Oh, the IRS. Are they still screaming about that?
Yeah, they are.
You know, isn't it like the more we hear about this, the less and less this is a scandal of any kind? This is what Oh, I love this. Stuart Stevens. Remember that guy? Not the mouse. The former Romney advisor.
Stuart's what? The mouse?
Isn't there a mouse named Stuart?
Little Stuart?
Right.
But his name isn't Stevens.
Well, I just, whenever I heard this guy, I always thought, but no, he's the Romney guy.
Okay.
He wrote an op-ed saying taking aim at members of the media, he said they are the pro-Obama equivalent of birthers, never letting emerging facts cloud the conclusion they've already committed to hold. It's exactly the opposite. All the facts that come out about this, you know, make it less and less of a scandal of any kind. Our good friend Joan Walsh writes in Salon, what the IRS did right, turns out some of the conservative groups it scrutinized were actively and wrongly involved in partisan politics.
Yeah.
And beyond that... lied on the form.
Yeah.
Like, that's, to me, where the scandal is. Are you engaged in political activity? They check no.
Heck no.
That's ridiculous. Joan writes, outrage first, facts later. That's often the way American political scandals, quote-unquote, unfold. And it seems to be the case with the news that the IRS targeted conservative political groups for extra scrutiny before granting them tax-exempt status as social welfare organizations. And, you know, she goes on to talk about some of the stuff that was revealed in the New York Times. Some of the conservative groups identified by the Times told the IRS they did not engage in electoral politics when, in fact, they did.
They did. Yep. Yeah.
So maybe that's who's going to jail, John Boehner. The Wetlumpa Alabama Tea Party, that's the one everybody was talking about. They participated in Code Red USA, not the kind that Jack Nicholson, not that Code Red.
You're damn right.
But
they did
order the code red.
You ordered the code red.
Mm-hmm. I did the job. Did you order the code red?
You're damn right, I did.
See, that's who's going to jail.
Dear.
Yeah, it was a national voter turnout drive intended to engineer the defeat of President Barack Obama.
Huh.
They said, "Oh, that was just for educational purposes."
Right.
It's not political at all.
Right. Right.
God.
All right.
If you're going to lie, at least be good at it.
Right. Hey, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. Oh, Michael Tomasky. Just the name makes me swoon. Because obviously lots been written and said about Michelle Bachmann quitting, something. But nobody says it better.
Leaving Congress.
Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast. Good morning, sir.
Hey there.
Just the headline, Michelle Bachmann, Daddy, Jesus, America. What's not great about that headline?
Yeah, thank you. I sort of like that one myself.
You know, but you leave it to you to have a different angle that other people haven't talked about. But talk about what your piece, because it really is brilliant.
Well, thanks. I don't know if necessarily brilliant, but I'll take it. You know,
You say it's easy to make fun of her, and I'm certainly not above that. I also made the opposite mistake with her. I took her presidential candidacy more seriously than it deserved to be taken.
I did. Yeah, I really thought that she had a real shot. Like if you think back to early 2011, spring of 2011, when there were all these contenders, it was clear even then, right, Stephanie, that in the final analysis, it was going to be Romney versus someone representing the hard right wing.
Right.
And that ended up being Rick Santorum after they went through all the rest of them and found them deficient in this way or that. But I actually thought it might have been her.
I understand because it was such a crazy train. You're like, well, she could be the conductor in that crazy train. Yeah.
Exactly. But the bulk of the piece is about, her conversion from, godless heathen to child of Jesus, from conservative to liberal, which I didn't really go into much, but happened a little bit later.
You mean liberal to conservative?
Liberal to conservative, sorry. Right. And taking a sort of more psychological look at her. So, she had, and this, some of this comes from a New Yorker profile of her, but some of it is just apparent in the way she talks about things.
Right.
She had a father who was very, very important to her and whom she adored, and then and who was liberal, which probably didn't help, for later purposes.
Right.
He was a pro civil rights person. He was a hater of the South, and that sort of thing. And he left the family when she was 14 and left them impoverished.
Mm-hmm.
And so she became very bitter about that. And she was fatherless and she was wandering and she was lost and her soul was full of darkness. And then at 16, she went to a prayer meeting and found Jesus. And she says in this speech that she gave in 2006, suddenly I had a father. So like this, I think is sort of the key to her. You know, she was, once she became a religious person, And then she brought that value system to politics. So she, look, we all bring our value systems and belief systems to our political views. But I don't think it's unreasonable for me to say that she's a pretty extreme case along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, as you write, you say, I think it's probably fair to conclude in her case, she wasn't in politics to build senior centers or alter Medicare. She was in politics to give people fathers and Jesus, to give them her experience. And as you say, that may sound nice to a lot of people, but it's deeply anti-American. It's the nature of a democratic society that we respect one another's different experiences, and Jesus has nothing to do with being a good American. So,
that's right.
I mean, I remember when I first heard about her, Michael, I thought, okay, this small government Christian conservative is married to an obviously gay man who is using government money to do Christian reparative therapy on gay people. I mean, you can't write this stuff, right?
Yeah, really, really strange. I mean, I guess I first encountered her on Hardball, not the infamous night when she called for an investigation into members of Congress degrees of loyalty, but a couple of months before that. Matthews liked having her on back in 2008, probably for the same reason that Bill O'Reilly likes having on, some of the less effective spokespeople for liberalism. And so I thought, boy, now she's, she immediately catches your eye, right?
Right.
She's attractive. She's got those eyes. And,
yes.
And, she is, as these things go, well-spoken, I suppose you'd say. So I thought, wow, she's, what is her story?
Right.
So I started looking into her. Then a couple months later, there she was on Hardball calling for loyalty oaths and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, wow, she's really out there.
It's like she's living in a sitcom.
Yeah, exactly. But I returned quickly. The last sentence of mine that you quoted got some people on Twitter upset yesterday, but it's absolutely true. Jesus, there's no religious test for being an American, and this is an error, and I think, frankly, a very offensive one that people on the religious right make. You don't have to believe in Jesus or anything to be a good American. You have to believe in the Bill of Rights, period.
Yeah, well, exactly. And she talks a lot about it. We just played a whole montage of stuff that I hadn't remembered, but about, you know, how important it is, Michael, for wives to be submissive.
Yeah.
To their husbands.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's the whole.
I don't mean to be the one to say she does not seem like the submissive in that relationship, but listen, that's neither here nor there.
Oh, boy.
But it's, yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. May I have another?
No.
I don't know. I don't know about all that. But, you know, Michael, I think the larger point people have been talking about this morning, you know, when you look at Bob Dole's comments, you know, she may be the most entertaining and the craziest, but you know, she's more the norm, really, in that party at this point, right?
Yeah, she is. You know, I mean, she's a little bit fringy, but, you know, there are many, many people in the House of Representatives whose names your listeners probably don't know, who are basically in her corner of the ballpark, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's just a lot of people, and you know, I'm sure people see from reading websites every 2 weeks somebody pops up, some backbencher you know you've never heard of pops up with some nutty comment or another, you know, and it's really, well, you know, it's the old story.
Well,
we know they're just it's a rage machine.
Right. And in terms of ideas, you know, are Ted Cruz and Rand Paul so different than you know what her ideas are?
No, not at all. I mean, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul have a few differences, I guess, probably on drones, probably,
right.
For example. But no, I mean, they just keep getting more and more right wing all the time. This party,
you know,
go ahead,
Mike. I was reading a New York Times piece called "The Wisdom of Bob Dole," but I think it's you know, again, points that a lot of people have made, but there really is. There is something happening, right? I mean, they are at some sort of tipping point, the Republican Party. They're even, you know, John McCain is quoted in here as saying just the other day, we're here to vote, not to block things. We're here to articulate our positions on the issues and do what we can for the good of the country and let the process move forward. And that's essentially what Bob Dole said, right? He said, at least, you know, we weren't perfect, but we at least got our work done. I mean, you know.
Well, most of the time. Let's not give Bob too much credit.
Right.
Because he was instrumental in the beginning of this wackiness. You know, the night that Clinton was elected, because Clinton was elected with less than 50% of the vote, as you'll remember, because there were three people on the ballot. Ross Perot got 19%. And he went on TV that night and said he does not have a mandate. He got less than half the vote, and it's not our job to grant him his agenda. Words to that effect. That was 1992. That was sort of the dawn. That was the early, you know, Jurassic phase of this extreme Republican madness, and Dole fed that, you know, which was really bad for a guy who back in the 70s was, you know, he was a Kansas,
right,
you know, sort of heartland conservative, but he was, on some things, he was pretty moderate, and he was a responsible senator who legislated. And then, you know, by the 90s, it was block Clinton, block Clinton, block Clinton. And so maybe he regrets that, and it's fine that he regrets that. It'd be nice if he said it a little more forcefully.
Yeah, I bet President Obama, you know, wishes for the amount that Bill Clinton got blocked, though, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
no kidding,
they got.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think. You know, the point of this piece is, in particular, is, you know, they were always, oh, small government, as you know. You know, Reagan used to make those jokes, but this is like no government. The way they're, you know what I mean? This is the way they operate, the Republican Party today, is that all government is bad. Any kind of anything, right? Regulation, government of any kind.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. You know, Obama would be happy for the kind of opposition Bill Clinton had, and he'd be absolutely over the moon for the kind of opposition that Lyndon Johnson had. I always laugh when these people, oh, like Maureen Dowd and others, say that he needs to be more like LBJ and,
yeah,
know, shake people up and scare people. Well, you know, LBJ was dealing with an extremely moderate Republican Party in those days.
Yeah, and huge majorities, Michael.
huge Democratic majorities, right. And also even beyond the Democratic majorities, you know, nearly half of Republicans in the House and Senate voted for Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
Slightly more than half in the House and a little bit under half in the Senate voted for Medicare and Medicaid. Republicans. I mean, can you imagine that?
Yeah. It is funny to think about when, you know, those of us that lived through the Clinton years, you go, yes, oh, for the kinder, gentler political climate that we had during the Clinton years. It really is incredible. Well, Michael, great stuff as always, and always a pleasure to talk to you.
You too. Anytime.
All right. Thanks, Michael. There he goes.
Okay,
Michael Kowalski, Daily Beast.
Yay.
Love
him. You want to marry him.
Date and kiss and marry. Okay. Jeff in Seattle real quick on the IRS thing. Hello, Jeff.
Well, with Karl Rove applying for the 501c4 status, doesn't that tell people that it's a joke?
Yes.
And I'd just like to know, you know, ask a Republican, what percentage of these 501c4s do you actually think are real, and what are just strictly fronts for money laundering and taking in money from anonymous donors so they could just pour money out?
Yep.
I mean, it's a joke. And when Karl Rove is up there saying, well, my nonprofit status, I haven't gotten it yet. Come on. Purely political. And if that doesn't tell people that this is political, what do they need to see?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was saying Joan Walsh, you know, wrote a piece, What the IRS Did Right. And she's right. She says clearly the IRS's use of search terms like Tea Party, Liberty, Patriots was wrong, especially in the absence of comparable search terms to root up progressive groups. So the president was probably right to declare the targeting mess an outrage. On the other hand, it would have been nice to have all the facts in before so many liberals, myself included, Joan says, began throwing fuel on the right-wing fire. And predictably, having gotten the entire spectrum of political opinion to declare the IRS activity a scandal, the National Republican Campaign Committee is now using the embattled agency in ads against four vulnerable Democratic House incumbents. The IRS mess is coming to look more like the Benghazi quote-unquote scandal, a diversion from the genuine policy questions at issue concocted to embarrass the president. And, you know, I think that's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the Reince Priebuses of the world. Obvious anagram.
Reince Priebus!
Right.
But they're seeing that you've got a scandal-plagued White House, which has an effect on all Democrats across the country.
Yeah.
Hello, he whined.
I miss his whiny little droopy dog voice. Sure, okay. Thanks,
Christ. It's a scandal. I mean, I can't believe it. I'm getting away with it.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like his name.
Yes, he sounds more energetic than he actually is. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were talking about the shark census yesterday.
Yes.
They are doing a census of great white sharks.
A shark ate a census taker once with some fava beans and a nice candy.
Right. I was speculating.
One shark.
They're trying to find out exactly how many great white sharks are off the coast of California.
Yeah.
And
not enough, apparently.
Right. I think that will result in less census takers, not less great white sharks. They're notoriously irritated by census takers.
And they're
Pardon me, are you by any way a great white...
And they're notoriously hungry.
Right. I'm just saying, I wouldn't pester them. Jeff in Minneapolis on the shark census staff. Don't forget that not only is the shark census endangered by land sharks answering the door, there's also Michelle Bachman who told sharks not to answer the census. That's
right.
True. And some for parting thoughts.
So white sharks are Republicans.
Right. Well, that goes without saying.
Michelle Bachman doesn't want you to answer the census?
Yeah, remember she told people don't answer it.
Right.
It's a government plot? You don't remember that?
The census is taken so that people can count the number of people
it's
in her district.
If
there are less people counted in her district, she may lose her seat.
Right.
Does she know that this goes against her own best interests?
Aw, isn't that cute? Look, it's all magical again, like something Michelle Bachman said was crazy. Remember? It was like back in the magical beginning.
I mean, that is the original reason for the census.
Aw. You want to play
it? I ate his liver with some fava beans.
Aw.
And some soda pop.
Aw, Michelle. You miss her already, don't you?
Oh, totes.
Michelle.
Yay!
She's the fat, crazy one from hell, that Michelle. I want to say that someone's gay, like Liberace gay. I will save my words and look the other way, just like you, my Michelle.
Coping in our own ways.
Yeah, we are.
All right. I was mentioning to Michael Tomosky this piece, New York Times op-ed called The Wisdom of Bob Dole. Mm-hmm. A lot of people talking about this because we were saying it was not just sad, you know how old he is and
yeah.
that he's obviously
yeah,
infirm.
Yeah, really frail.
Yeah, but just what he said was very sad about, you know, because regardless of what you think, this is a decorated war hero. We haven't always agreed with him politically, but I think he's genuinely sad as an American, as a Republican. You know, the board writing, the editorial board of the New York Times saying Bob Dole no longer recognizes the Republican Party he helped lead for years. They talk about the difference between the current crop of Tea Party people like Michelle Bachmann and Mr. Dole's generation is not simply one of ideology. While the Tea Parties are undoubtedly more extreme, Mr. Dole, as Michael Tomosky was saying,
that's right.
Spent years pushing big tax cuts, railing at regulations, blocking international treaties. His party actively courted the religious right in the 80s, relied on racial innuendo to win elections. But when the time came to actually govern, Republicans used to set aside their grandstanding, recognize that a two-party system requires compromise and make deals to keep the government working on the people's behalf. And that's what I think he doesn't recognize. He's like, we weren't perfect, but we got our work done.
Yeah.
We did, you know. Anyway, the current generation refuses to do that. Its members want to dismantle government using whatever crowbar happens to be handy, and they don't particularly care what traditions of mutual respect get smashed at the same time. And we were saying that even John McCain has been saying that. And, you know, you just wonder now that these elder statesmen are, you know, obviously at the end of their careers, like what really is going to happen with the Republican Party? Anyway, the Times finishes by saying, already the mulish behavior of congressional Republicans has led to the creation of the sequester, blocked action on economic growth and climate change, prevented reasonable checks on gun purchases, and threatens to blow up a hard-fought compromise on immigration. Mr. Dole's words should remind his party that it's not only abandoning its past, but damaging the country's future. And one thinks they probably won't care.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to them. They're not going to listen.
I'm not talking to you.
I am not talking to you.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
That's why I think this is going to happen more and more often. Independent Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee joining the Democratic Party.
Yep.
A friend of mine has Republican parents that are like the Bob Dole kind of Republicans.
Right.
And she was talking about issues with them, and, you know, she goes, you know what we call your kind of Republican? And her dad was like, what? She said, a Democrat.
Yeah. Now we do.
Yes, this is what's happening. The governor, a former Republican senator, became a political independent in 2007, the year after he lost re-election to the U.S. Senate. And this is part of what Jim said yesterday. Obama's health plan was Bob Dole's plan.
Mm-hmm.
So Lincoln Chafee's of the world are just, it is an indicator of how far right the Republican Party has moved, not...
And Obama's basically a Rockefeller Republican.
Yes. Obama said in a statement he was delighted and thrilled by the decision. He called Chafee an independent thinker and a leader who was unafraid to reach across party lines to get things done. And he campaigned for the black guy, so that's... He was toast a long time ago. He was been an Obama supporter for a while. That means you're, you know...
Computer says no.
Today's Republican Party. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Damn, I'm a writer, I'm messy, I'm a lovable curmudgeon. That is solid.
Now, technically, if your house were in the middle of your street, it would be a traffic problem.
Yeah. It'd be a hazard.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay, 30, not a lot of logic
no.
in music sometimes.
But it was catchy.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number. John in Florida. Hi, John.
Hi, Michelle. First time...
Michelle?
Michelle?
How dare you yell out the wrong woman's name?
Oh, I apologize.
That's all right.
I called to talk about Michelle Bachman.
Sorry.
Please forgive me.
No, that's fine.
To put it clearly...
I bet you Marcus Bachman has yelled out the wrong name as well.
Steven!
Michael! I didn't. Did I say Michael? I meant Michelle.
No, I didn't mean to call you a nut. She's crazy.
All right. Thank
you. What we're doing, though, is we're concentrating on her social inappropriateness, her political aspect, the fact that the Republican Party is overboard with social issues instead of taking care of business. So as far as taking care of business is concerned, we might be throwing the baby out with the bathwater here, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
Concentrating on her social inappropriateness instead of her mechanical qualifications to speak about the financial cancers that are killing the country. As a tax attorney, and this is no joke,
okay.
I dealt with tax attorneys all my life. I was a CPA. That's how I started out in business. These are no lightweights. She might be personally nuts. You wouldn't want her telling you, dictating your social policy, but the woman's words about the tax system are golden, and that's what's killing us. And she's talking about things that are actually screwing us up. And we're doing our level
like
best
what?
To laugh her out of town because she's a nut in other ways. It points directly at the reason our political system of representative democracy is completely worthless.
What are her points that you think are valid about the tax system?
Oh, my God, it's completely unnecessary. The whole IRS...
Taxes are unnecessary?
Of course. No, not... did I say taxes were unnecessary? We've got to run the government.
You said it's unnecessary.
What do you mean? What's
the tax system. You don't need a whole tax system. It's just an excuse to get... to have everybody put their hands in your pocket and do it wrong. We don't need the whole system.
So what? How would you do it?
The simple basic taxes levied efficiently. In other words, let's say a national sales tax. A national sales tax literally is a no-brainer. It comes if you could go as far as 10%. We'd have 10% right off the bat, and there wouldn't be any IRS involved in that, would it?
But that would kind of that would eliminate the deductions that you get for charitable giving, for interest on your mortgage, and so that would kind of decimate charitable giving and home purchases.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would. That's precisely what I want to do.
You want to decimate those two things?
Of course. What do you need them for?
What do you need charitable giving for?
Right.
Oh my God!
Stop.
Okay.
Poor people can just suck it. That's my point.
Right. Break it down. That's what he meant. Okay. All right.
Wow.
Right?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right,
Paul. You know, the Republican Party, as we've been speaking about all morning, Chris, in a very invulnerable state.
Sure. Yes.
If they were a woman, this is when Jim would strike.
God.
And so I'm a helper. Can I have some love music? Because I'm trying to help them.
Yes.
You know what? Maybe it's time to start listening to the elder statespeople in your party, like Bob Dole and Phyllis Schlafly.
What?
What? Huh?
I am helping.
You are quoting Phyllis
Schlafly.
I love
many Republicans. I come from a Republican family. Schlafly encourages GOP to ignore Latinos. Focus on white turnout. And I listen to Aunt Phyllis. She's... Last month, she predicted that comprehensive reform would be suicide for the Republican Party. Yes. Because immigrants come from a country where they expect a handout from the government. Yes, I think you need to adopt exactly this rhetoric. I think this will help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Turn out next time. Last week, she lamented that today's immigrants are less patriotic than the Irish, Italian, Jewish, etc. immigrants of earlier generations.
Oh, really?
Right.
Really?
Et cetera.
Who are the et cetera people?
They're white. Doesn't matter what else they are.
But not the swarthy people like the Italians. Ew.
No, she included them.
Does she? Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Irish, Italian, Jewish, etc.
All right.
You know, et cetera.
Then
those
she
people.
Claimed Mitt Romney lost the presidential election not because of eroding support for the GOP among people of color. No.
Phyllis is one of those people that still thinks of Italian food as foreign food.
Right.
You know?
And pronounces Ethnic. It Italian dressing.
Yeah.
Italian dressing?
Yes.
Yeah, she thinks Olive Garden is, you know, best Italian food anywhere. Okay.
I'm going to go eat ethnic tonight.
Yeah, ethnic food is Italian, right. Uh-huh.
She claimed Romney lost the election not because of eroding support for the GOP among people of color, but because of his, quote, drop-off from white voters was tremendous, which is just completely not true, but okay. This week, she called the GOP's need to reach out to Latinos a great myth. That's right. Screw them! Say it! Say it loud and proud! Schlafly said that the people the Republicans should reach out to are the white votes. The white voters who didn't vote in the last election. Basically, she's repeating Pat Buchanan's recent call for the GOP to revive the Southern strategy. Stirring up racial resentment among white voters against Latino immigrants in order to boost turnout. Nicely done, folks. Yes, that is a blueprint for the future. Please, a little more gay bashing as well.
Especially her son.
What?
What are you?
Bring that up!
That messiness in the Schlafly family?
That old, right.
Family?
Schlafly family.
Schlafly family.
The Schlafly family. Tell us Schlafly and her family.
She refers to it, the unpleasantness.
Yeah.
The unpleasantness with my son.
My icky, icky son.
Stop it. Okay, at least he's not Latino.
Okay. There's that. Thank God for small favors.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Hola.
Irma Gerd. Hmm? What? Okay. Nothing. All right. Let's take a quick one from June in Georgia. Hello, June.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I'm listening to your show. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Can you please explain to me why is the president picking, you know, past Bush people to be put in positions such as I heard that he's going to appoint someone that's a Republican to be the attorney general?
James Comey.
Yes.
Yeah, well, but you remember who he is, right?
Can you explain that to me? Because I'm still kind of confused.
Well, he was the former prosecutor, right? Uh-huh. And he's known to be respected by both sides of the aisle because he was, there was that showdown about, you know, reauthorizing the warrantless wiretapping program, right?
And he argued against reauthorizing that program.
Yeah.
Hmm. So he's one of the good guys.
He's one of the good guys because I don't want our president to be sabotaged.
No.
I know he's trying to, you know, show good hands of both parties, saying that I'm trying to work with everybody. But, you know, I don't want him to sabotage himself because some, you know, you guys say there's always leaks, you know, of information from his past, you know,
right,
office.
Right. I think, you know, June, this is, you know, further evidence of what we're talking about in terms of the movement of the parties. When he picked Chuck Hagel, I mean, he got more shrapnel from his own, but he's been a Republican all his life.
Right.
But he's not, you know, he's the wrong kind of Republican because he's, you know, once expressed, I guess, a reasonable thought of some sort. Kenneth in Virginia Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kenneth.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I really appreciate the good work that you do, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And I really know that this is an entertainment program. But I know Republicans who are ignorant of the fact that the Republican Party control both houses of the government, the Senate and the House of Representatives, from 1994 mm-hmm. until 2006, mm-hmm. and operated it pretty much as a old boys club.
Right.
Now, my point is this. They have worked, Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, and Rumsfeld worked for one goal, well, three goals, actually. First, they wanted a government that could not function, which they have succeeded above their wildest dreams.
Yeah.
Secondly, they wanted a government that would not tax the rich. And third, they wanted a government that would not regulate business or corporations. And I think they've done a fine job of what they set out to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's why of all the, like, scandal stories in the news, we keep saying this. I don't know why the story of Texas, the fertilizer plant, has just gone nowhere. It's completely preventable, and it's going to happen again. And it's just it was just an accident. It's like
it seems like Texas wants it to happen again because they're not doing anything about it.
I don't know why we pretend some things are just, you know, sort of flukes or something when they're not. Okay. By the way, and more evidence that we are screwed as a nation. Uh-huh. Gawker brings us a story: Americans officially now too lazy to make microwave popcorn.
Wow.
Ad Age explains what's driving the explosive growth of ready-to-eat popcorn.
Already popped.
Too many steps. Yeah, too many steps.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who has time?
The brand director said microwave popcorn at its inception was all about convenience, having only to wait three minutes to get warm,
yeah,
delicious popcorn.
It was
popcorn.
A time saver back when it was introduced.
But
is it possible?
So many tweets and texts and, you know.
Is it possible we've gotten lazier? Oh, nice. I guess so. Yes. But as times have changed, the definition of convenience have changed. Now 3 minutes? No.
No.
That's too long. That's too long. Watch, I've got too many tweets to twit.
Is there something more, like, something more instant than instant gratification? There's something...
I want an instanter.
We're going to need to go back in time to be gratified now. You don't have to...
Want it to have happened already.
You don't have to take the extra step of opening the box, opening the wrapper, and hoping you have the skill to watch it appropriately so you don't ruin the product.
Well,
really, people? Just set it for three and put to start.
In my day, we had Jiffy Pop. We had to put it over the burner on the stove.
You have to have the skill.
I always get
somewhere
anxiety.
Somewhere Julia Child just like rolled over in her grave.
I get anxiety over what side I have down. Do I have the correct side down? And, you know... Because it makes a difference. Otherwise,
and someone in your office always burns it, no matter what.
Yes, Stephanie.
That's true. Someone's always a doofus.
Yes, Stephanie.
No,
you put foil in
on a baked potato. That was different. I do not have any skill set regarding cooking. I admit that. At least I know how to microwave popcorn.
Do you?
Yes.
All right.
Three. Start.
But you have to sit there and watch it. You can't leave it.
Oh, I know. It's horrible. What a huge inconvenience. All right, we are screwed. That's it. Shut out the lights. We're going home. 45 minutes after.
Do they
the
even
hour.
Make regular popcorn poppers anymore?
I don't know.
You know the things that you plugged into the.
Oh, well, that's in only, college. That's the things you had in college.
That's
yeah.
for popping squirrels, though. For,
oh,
Mike Huckabee. Yeah. Right. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Word. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome
word
to it.
To y'all's
right.
Mamas.
Exactly. Peace out. 1-800-STEPH-12.
As the kids are saying.
Phone number.
Sure.
1978.
As the kids said in 1985.
Right. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama, two things.
Yes.
Michelle Bachmann's going to walk scot-free. She's got the airtight defense. She can play insanity, and no jury in the world's going to touch her.
Maybe, like, case dismissed. Okay, you're right.
And the second thing is, I sent you the pictures, John McCain posing with kidnapped terrorists in Syria.
Oy.
Thanks, John.
Oh, Grampy.
And a little Google search is, one of the guys he posed with, had the clever trick of when he picks up people, he cuts off their fingers and mails them to the victim's family so they pay the ransom.
Hi.
And then John is on record saying, well, I know the good people from the bad people in the Mideast.
Sure, of course he does. He's got those razor-sharp instincts. Okay.
Grampy, yeah. Did you sit on the pie again?
Grampy.
I sure hope so.
Oh, heavens. Okay, so we were. He makes a good point. She could plead insanity and just offer this as evidence.
From one island to another, my name is Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days.
Oh, golly.
You are Jehovah God.
I am not here as anybody's judge.
Wonderful. Let's appreciate and value everyone's cultures, but not all cultures are equal.
But the Lord says, be submissive. Wives, you are be submissive to your husband.
Well, we have to understand, barbarians need to be educated.
Sure.
They need to be disciplined.
So, yes, I've very much been a part of the solution, and it's insulting to say that these are political speech, because that's one thing I do not do, is
what?
Political
okay.
speech.
What does God say when he looks at you, or when he looks at me? He wants to say, she's hot. He's hot.
Wow.
Because we are hot for him on the inside. Amen?
Wow.
We have to today make a covenant. Let's let our wrists be blood brothers on this thing.
Huh?
This will not pass.
What?
You're the state where the shot was heard around the world at Lexington and Concord.
No.
And you put a marker in the ground.
Well, what I want them to know is, just like John Wayne was from Waterloo, Iowa, that's the kind of spirit that I have, too.
Right.
Let's all say happy birthday to Elvis Presley.
Happy Death Day.
You get
Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Well, that's rude.
That was beautiful.
Listener Adam in Illinois. Anyone can play the Michelle Bachman game.
Yeah.
I had not heard that clip, and I've heard a lot of Michelle Bachman, her talking about how Jesus is, you know. Hot. She's hot. He's hot. Hot. I'm hot. Jesus is. Hot. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't. That was weird.
Wow.
Weird. Okay, we were talking about, this is the level of the political debate we've gotten to. Someone mailed ricin to Mayor Bloomberg and to the offices of mayors against illegal drugs with obviously thoughts on the gun control issue. And in a totally unrelated story, man doesn't realize loaded guns are verboten at Disney World, leaves his on a ride seat. What could possibly go wrong?
Wow, really?
Yes.
You're the sort of person who sends ricin through the mail. You really should not be allowed to own a gun.
Right.
That should disqualify you immediately.
Right. Well, this isn't ricin guy. This is Disney
World.
Disneyland? Disneyland
Disney
guy.
Disney World.
Right.
It's
right.
Like Disney's Animal Kingdom, which is in
right.
Florida.
Is that where he left it?
Yep. On the dinosaur ride.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Okay. He told authorities he realized his gun
right
was...
by the sinkhole ride.
He told authorities he realized his gun was missing a few minutes after he left it on the ride. Oh!
What
as you do.
Yikes.
Didn't I have a gun with me?
Let's see. Where could it be? Wallet.
No!
He does have a concealed weapons permit, so, you know, he's one of those responsible gun owners.
Right.
But told authorities he didn't know that Disney World patrons weren't allowed to bring guns to the park. Yeah, what could go wrong? It's just another toy for the kids.
Yeah, it's just...
Mommy, look what I found! The ride. Okay. Oh, boy. Yeah,
Mommy, yes. Bobby's not moving!
It's a much smaller world now.
Yeah.
Right.
Now we know why the dinosaurs went extinct.
Yeah. Right.
They're all shot.
People like that.
It's a small...
All right.
It's a small world. It's not a shooting gallery.
Don't you hate it when you're a pony in a store? I do.
Huh?
Cops called after pony defecates in a store.
As you do.
Right. In Warren, Rhode Island. State line, Warren, Rhode Island.
All right.
A man leaving a children's pony show got himself into hot water afterward by stopping at a liquor store.
Okay.
As you do.
And
right.
Bringing his Shetland pony inside. Really?
Hmm. Huh. Well, at least he didn't go to a donkey show, which is a whole different thing.
Right, right. Surveillance video shows him leading the pony through the aisles of the liquor and wine bottles by a leash. At one point on the video... The pony leaves behind him.
A present.
Gee, who could
a road apple.
Seen right. That something.
Some road apples with your wine.
What goes with the road apple?
He then refused to clean up the mess. Oh, I'd like to see that part. Could you clean up your pony, please? No.
Clean up on aisle five? I didn't.
Liberace made Scott Thorson do it.
You want to be a vet?
Yes.
Go clean up the dog.
Well, I should go clean up the dog poop.
We have like a photographic memory from behind
really
the candelabra already.
It's wow.
Stunning. He said the sign outside the store says no dogs or cats allowed.
Oh, well.
You didn't say anything about Shetland ponies.
You didn't say anything about whether my Shetland pony could in your aisle. If you would specifically mention that, I would have known.
Maybe this the wrong spelling for Shetland.
There you go. That explains it all.
Yes.
Just
by
like
the
Clarissa.
Way, the sign now includes the line, no horses.
Yeah, scrawled in magic marker underneath it.
And by the way, hey, Shetland pony guy, not your pony either. All right, and may I just go on record as saying I've never been drunk enough to bring a pony into a liquor store. So there.
As far as you know.
Unless someone's got the surveillance video. All right, speaking of this,
if it's
exciting.
Not posted on Facebook, it doesn't exist.
Right.
Yes.
Speaking of pets, guess what's exciting that's happening now?
What?
There's a new free airport therapy dogs. Have you seen them? There's a new breed of airport dog. They aren't looking for drugs or bombs. They're looking for people who need a buddy, a belly to rub or a paw to shake. His job is to be touched, said one volunteer about Henry James. Who's a handsome man, Henry James is? Her 5-year-old golden retriever that works a few hours a week at the San Jose airport. I think this is a grand idea. People are tense. Miami International Airport got on board, and LAX has, I'm going away this weekend. I hope to meet some of the dogs. They have 30 and are hoping to expand the program. The dogs are intended to take the stress out of travel, the crowds, long lines, terrorism concerns.
What if the dog bites your hand off? That's pretty stressful.
They're trained. All right, I'll tell you when we get back what kind of dogs we have in L.A. I'm very excited. There's a lot of them. We have a lot of LAX therapy dogs. Okay.
Yeah, but they're all going to be at the terminal that you're not at.
How do you know that?
Because.
I'm going to call ahead.
It always is. The good restaurants are always in the other terminals.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. I know we're all working through the grief of this week, the comedic loss of Michelle Bachmann, that crazy congresswoman from the great state of Minnesota. By the way, Marcus, her husband? Still working through his career. He does not, I'm told he does not want to leave Congress. He is not, he says he's still in denial. He is not going. We have a microphone. Marcus?
Wow. Okay. Sounds a little overwrought.
Marcus. Oh, boy. Drunken mess.
Bless her heart.
A hot mess.
Bless her heart.
Oh, God.
Sounds like a barbarian that needs to be disciplined.
It's not going. I know it. All right, someone needs to slap him, throw some water in his face. All right, thank you. All right. Oh, dear. It's just the stages, you know. He's still in denial. Yeah.
Not just the river in Egypt.
Yeah, she's working through it.
Right? She's working it, girl. Listen, you hang in there. Okay. You know what? He'll survive. Marcus will survive, is all I'm saying. Oh, deep sigh.
Finally. First I was afraid, I was a wee bit petrified, wondering if I'd ever live without you by my side. Because I spent so many nights watching gay porn on my TV.
What?
And I grew strong, I learned how to get along.
And now the real Marcus is back.
From that dark place, I'm gonna let my trolley roll all over the place. Go ahead, Michelle, change the lock, throw away the key, cause I'm not coming back. I'm gonna find me a barbarian to free. Here I go. I'm walking out the door. Don't chase me. Here I go. Whee! Whatever you do, Michelle, don't wear white after Labor Day.
Clang, clang, clang.
I told you that I don't know how many times. I'm not gonna be here
to remind you.
I'm not gonna be here anymore.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. And ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell.
I am, I'm free. I'm free. So free. I'm free.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Audra is in Minneapolis, so she is, you know, feeling the pain a little more deeply. Don't let friends drink and send comedy bits. All right. Oh, I was talking about we have new airport therapy dogs that you can touch. Because I have to go to town this weekend. I'm one of those people I have to touch dogs because I miss Max and Fred too much.
I want a cat. I want an airport cat.
No one
cat.
Wants a therapy cat.
Sure. Kitties are cute.
One of the volunteers said you can literally feel the stress levels drop. People start smiling. Strangers start talking to each other. Everybody walks away feeling really, really good.
Until he bites your arm off. Because he's a rabid pit bull.
They are trained. LAX's dogs, who I may meet this weekend. We have a long-haired Dalmatian, a lab pointer mix, a field spaniel, a poodle.
Never heard of a long-haired Dalmatian.
Three Australian
Labradoodles. Dalmatians aren't known for their friendliness.
They're aloof.
They are trained. Three Australian Labradoodles, a Doberman. Oh, well, that one. Might help if you're late for your flight. Okay.
Yeah.
And a 150-pound Irish wolfhound named Finn.
That's
what a great big boy Finn is. Finn knows two tricks. There's no word on what the tricks are.
Some reporting that reporter did.
That's grand. Finn.
Finn is large. I saw a picture.
My talent is being large and drinking.
All right. Kids.
What?
Listen. I don't know where they learned this sort of immaturity from. Certainly not this show. However, teen arrested for changing classmate's name in the yearbook to masturbate.
Oh, Gawker. That poor kid.
Gawker brings us the story. A high school student from Columbia, Missouri, was arrested on the suspicion of felony property damage after she allegedly changed the classmate's last name in the yearbook to masturbate. The victim,
damage?
The victim, Reagan Mastain. You can see why. Funny, because it sounds like.
Yeah.
Told the Columbia Tribune she was kind of annoyed at Caitlin's actions, but wasn't that upset. I was disappointed.
Disappointed!
But I didn't know her well enough to be personally affected.
Disappointed!
You didn't have a last name that was easily changed to something dirty, did you?
What?
So you don't understand
what do you mean,
the pain.
What?
Yeah. People could play around with my last name a whole lot.
As Siri calls you.
Yeah.
Even Siri mocks you.
I know.
Calling Chris LaVoit. It sounds like... Okay.
Uh-huh.
Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
And Jim, you can't do anything with your last name either.
No.
You guys
no.
are lucky.
Yeah.
Jeez. What about Travis Bone? What do you think it's like to grow up with a last name like Bone? Huh?
Well, you end up doing this.
He's on the
exactly.
phone.
Kenny Pick from Cleveland. Hello, Kenny.
And that's
don't
perfect
pick on
setup
Kenny.
For a guy whose last name is Picklesheimer. My God.
Yeah, okay then.
Yeah.
So,
are you just happy
all,
to
I
see me, or are you
I want to say if Audra's bit comes true, then hopefully Marcus will have plenty of time to go sunglass shopping for baby boy.
There you go.
But now I wanted to chime in a little bit on this whole teabagger IRS non-scandal thing.
Right.
These guys, I mean, they're just kind of dumb because, okay, a whole bunch of progressive organizations were, you know, they were searching for terms. From my understanding, they were searching for Tea Party, they were searching for Patriot, and 912 for
right.
the Tea Party groups. And they came up with a whole slew of them. Now, they use similar search terms for progressive groups, progress, progressive, whatever, you know. But again, since we're kind of like herding cats, trying to come up with a uniform message a lot with, you know, progressive organizations and, you know, well, on a lot of groups that we would do probably would, you know, actually have something to do with the general welfare or whatever.
Right.
And so it's just hysterical that they're all up in arms because they're just so non-creative and they name themselves after a stupid Glenn Beck moneymaker. It's just ridiculous I can't believe it's gone on this
right
long.
If they were smart they would call themselves the Social Welfare Organization.
Yeah. Yes.
So dumb. Okay, thank you, Kenny, appreciate it. Okay. Lynn in Florida. Hey, Lynn.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was going to want to comment on the letter that Michael Bloomberg got about the gun.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, I always wondered who does not want background checks? Well, after listening
people
to
that would send ricin through the mail.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people that have anger issues, hate issues, criminal background, psych history, and those are the people that don't want background checks.
Right.
Everyone else would like to have one.
Yep.
So, yeah, really. Really?
Yeah, really?
Really?
What? Really?
Really?
Really,
have you sent ricin in the mail to anyone recently? Oh, sure, I do that
sure.
every...
What?
Oh, dear. You're disqualified.
Hey, speaking of non-scandals, Daryl Issa issued a subpoena in order to obtain documents related to the talking points of the administration in the aftermath of Benghazi.
Oh, God.
To John Kerry. In his letter to Secretary of State John Kerry, who I'm guessing said, really? Really?
Really?
Really?
ISA states the State Department has not lived up to the administration's broad and unambiguous promises of cooperation with Congress. Therefore, I'm left with no alternative but to compel the state.
I have in my hand a list of 205 communists in the State Department.
No.
All right. We're spinning the wheel of Scandalpalooza. Eric Holder to meet with journalists amid criticism over the Justice Department's crackdown on leaks.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's what I hear in my head. I hear mostly like Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
Then he comes up.
And the blue.
Benghazi.
Makes a goal of the day. And the...
Okay.
And then a... with a bag of oranges.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are pretty hard oranges, Nathaniel.
Are you
sound
referring
like
to the allegation that he beat his sons with bags of oranges?
Ow!
Dad!
Because they would do damage, but they wouldn't bruise you. That's why.
Come here. Okay, Eric Holder.
Bust in the head with bag of oranges. Could have been a bag of bananas.
Okay.
We are old.
Bobbity pop.
Okay. All right. Eric Holder set to meet with reporters to discuss the handling of leak investigations. He will speak with several Washington Bureau chiefs of national news organizations in the next 2 days as part of the review of existing Justice Department guidelines governing investigations that involve reporters. Seems like he is taking this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying yesterday, it's amazing. He can't win. He's had Congress screaming at him about, why aren't you investigating leaks more? Why aren't you more prepared? Oh, now you're doing it wrong. Now look what you did. Why are you hitting yourself?
Why are you not investigating enough too much?
Right. The wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what Daryl Issa said to him.
Yeah. Tony in Richmond, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Stephanie. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I just have a quick question for you, and I'll let you just come up with an answer for it. With all this business about the Tea Party's filing for tax-exempt status, what kind of monies are they taking in? Where are the monies coming from, and what do they spend it on?
Mm-hmm.
And
why social welfare? Why do you ask?
Well, I'd like a little more specifics about that. If they think they need to actually have a tax-exempt status, they must be having some sort of tax burden put on them.
Specifics? That's fascism.
Yeah, exactly. Hitler. Freedom, Hitler. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Okay, 22 minutes after the hour. What? I just did an armpit check.
Yeah, you did.
Denton McManus there.
I've been having an incident the last couple of days, so now you know why? I switched to the heavy-duty medicinal underarm stuff.
Because
of this email.
What did the email say?
Well, the subject line is your nasty underarms. And he actually spelled it wrong with an E-N. Really? Who can't spell right?
Effing?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
E-N. All right. Got the C. Whatever. Did you and that meathead, that means you,
thanks,
not get my last email? No one wants to see your nasty hyperhidrosis. Go see a doctor.
Hyperhidrosis.
Go see a doctor. Turn off the air. Turn the air down or keep your arms down, you nasty dyke bitch. Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Someone named Tyler. Thanks,
great.
Tyler.
Can you forward that to me? I'd like to put that in a file somewhere.
File of some sort?
Well,
that might end up in ricin at some point.
That's like poetry.
And he also misspelled the second time as well.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want you to forward that to me, seriously.
So now I'm using the kind that's slowly poisoning me to death. It has aluminum that's leaching into my brain and causing early Alzheimer's.
All antiperspirants have aluminum salts in it.
Right.
Just the clinical kind you're using
thanks,
has
Tyler.
Like...
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks, Tyler. I'll slowly poison myself so that you don't have to see my nasty underarms.
You just have the aluminum of an entire 747.
You might as well rub a Cessna under there. You'll be just as good.
Dry as a bone, though. Okay. Kyle in Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm Kyle Atlanta. Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I had a question about the gun debate.
Yes.
Okay, so hypothetically here, if you take away everybody's guns, you guys not realize that people will still find other ways to get rid of people if they don't
with
like
a rock.
It?
With a rock.
Yes.
I mean, you can use all types of stuff, but if you take away the guns, that's not going to keep people from doing all these mass killings.
Well, there goes our plan to take away all the guns.
You know how much harder it is to do a mass killing with a steak knife than it is to, you know, with a gun, right?
Yeah. I know, but if you if you take it away from everybody, what about the law-abiding citizens who protect their homes with their guns?
Gee, we hadn't thought about that.
Yeah,
there goes our plan for taking all the guns, I guess.
I mean, if they're like drugs, if you want them, you will get them.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Kyle. Wow. Good points. Good points. We hadn't heard those before. Thanks.
Darn it! My plan foiled.
He is not good at the snark.
No,
he is totally
not.
Snark resistant.
Yeah.
That was a little flyover, Jim. You buzzed the tower there. He wasn't even aware.
What was that?
Wait.
Okay. All right. I know. I didn't have the energy either just then. Yeah, other things don't kill as many people as quickly. All right. You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're going to take your guns. Hitler. Liberty. Okay.
Freedom, tyranny, Hitler.
Congratulations, Audi drivers. You are the biggest sluts. Sluts.
Really?
Look at them, sluts. She's a slut. Audi drivers overtake BMW as the most adulterous car owners.
Really?
According to a new survey.
They keep track of things like
this. I used to have an Audi, and I wasn't getting any on the side.
Damn
what
it.
Well, you were doing it wrong then.
You had the wrong Audi model, apparently.
You need a sexy Audi model.
Would you like the fun facts? Wow. The cars driven most by cheaters, by percentage. Audi, way out ahead.
Why? Do they give a reason?
I have some thoughts. Number two, BMW. Number three, Mercedes-Benz.
What is it with German cars? It's all German.
Volvo just sounds dirty.
Sweden.
Yeah.
Would you like to get in my Volvo?
Sorry, what?
I love this one. Cars driven least by cheaters. Number five on the list, Hyundai. Well, who's going to... Someone that drives a Hyundai. Nobody.
Oh, come on. Hyundais aren't as bad as they used to be.
They're much better.
Yeah, they actually are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that seemed like an unnecessary survey, but all right.
Now, Kia, on the other hand.
Please. Really? Okay, let's go to George in Michigan.
Whores, all of them in Kias.
Kia has nothing but
Kia whores.
Yeah.
That's what they name the car.
All the time, you guys. You're great.
Thank you.
I don't know if you can
Have you seen the new Kia Trollop? Take her for a test drive.
I don't know if you can say this on the air or not, but since John Boehner is always seems to be hard on Democrats, maybe we ought to change his name to that.
All right. I see what you did there. Hey, we'll handle the jokes around here, for God's sakes. Really?
I want us going to jail. I think of that guy as going to jail.
Jim, this just in, breadwinning moms on the rise.
Breadwinning. Okay.
Breadwinning. 4 in 10, that's almost 40%.
Very nearly.
Bring home most or all of the income. Chicks. More moms than ever bringing home the bacon and probably expected to fry it in a pan. According to a new study from Pew, right. Women are the sole or primary breadwinners in a record 40% of homes, up from just 11% in 1960. So. It ain't a man's world. Next thing you know, the dames will be hosting radio shows. What?
Then what would it be?
That's illegal.
What? Okay. Sometimes it's just the headline. You don't really need anything else.
Uh-oh.
Courtney Love tells Amanda Bynes to pull it together.
Okay.
Didn't Keith Richards give somebody a talking to? I can't remember who it was. Keith Richards tells you you're a mess. You are a mess.
Stop taking drugs. This is not good for you.
She tweeted Amanda Bynes urging the troubled actress to, quote, pull it together, babe.
Right.
Bynes did not appreciate the tough love. She tweeted back, Courtney Love is the ugliest woman I've ever seen.
Bynes doesn't appreciate much lately.
To be mentioned by her at all makes me and all my friends laugh.
I thought she said that Rihanna was the ugliest person she's
ever seen. I know.
That's kind of her go-to insult, isn't it?
Yikes. All right. And by the way,
what?
Courtney Love's daughter is also in a tweet. I'll get
that. Bean?
She's in a Twitter fight with her Kardashian sister. That's
what's
happening with all the kids today. I can't. Grandma can't keep up. You know why?
Why?
Because my underarm deodorant is making me forget things. I can't keep up with who's having a Twitter war with who. 29 minutes after the hour,
right back. You're old.
Huh? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't toy with me, woman.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. I'm Mantoy. Yes, I am. 34 minutes after the
Mantoy.
Hour. Oh, by the way, the hate letter, he not only misspelled ing, he also misspelled dyke.
Yeah.
Please, for God's sakes, if you're going to insult me.
Do it correctly.
Really?
Do it with proper grammar.
Okay. All right. So we're keeping track of the Twitter fights with the kids. So, what did I say? Courtney Love just tweeted Amanda Bynes to pull it together.
Sure.
So, in other news, Courtney Love's daughter slams Kardashian sister on Twitter.
Okay.
See, this is why I'm not really on the Twitter, because I...
Well, you are, but you're never on.
No.
You have people do that for you. I don't monitor this sort of thing.
One of the more bizarre Twitter beefs of late, Frances Bean... Cobain, the daughter of Courtney Love.
Right.
Tore into Kendall Jenner, the 17-year-old half-sister of Kim Kardashian, for those of you keeping track, for complaining on Twitter that her life was too hard. Okay, well, I would have. If I were on Twitter, I would have said something, too. She tweeted, just wish things could be easier sometimes, man. And she actually misspelled man. So that's another. Okay. What's her name?
Frances Bean.
She responded, there are kids on earth abandoned and homeless who forcibly drink contaminated water because clean water isn't accessible. And, not to mention cancer, famine, poverty, drought, disease, natural disasters, death.
That seems longer than 140 characters.
Humans are so self-involved. She said on Twitter. She commented on humans being self-involved on Twitter.
Some people are not self-involved on Twitter, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes.
All right. I'll take your word
for it. I get a lot of breaking news from Twitter, believe it or not.
Hey, speaking of breaking news.
Uh-oh.
So we covered the Twitter fight with Rihanna and Amanda.
Hmm.
Rihanna loves the pain of Brazilian wax.
Yeah, I read that.
Hmm.
She gets off on it, apparently.
Right.
Well, she did have a song called S&M.
Right. Mm-hmm. She refuses any pain-numbing cream before her intimate hair removal.
Is that what they call it now?
Claiming the sting of the hot wax procedure is pleasurable to her.
All right, then.
Thanks. She said no. She said no way. I love the pain. It feels good to me.
Okay.
Right. Right.
GTK.
Okay. Make a note of that. Right. Okay. Now the world has really gone insane. Lindsay Lohan in our celebutard stack.
Yeah.
She's an all-star rehab all-star.
I've heard that.
Expected to be screwing up again. Apparently, becoming a she's a model patient.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk?
She's been attending all of her group and one-on-one counseling sessions at Betty Ford, and she's not only taking them seriously, she's talking to friends about what she's learned.
It's a very special episode. So her publicist would have you believe.
Or apparently, that's the story.
Yeah.
How would we know?
Publicists get paid to put stories like that out.
Huh.
Hey, speaking of what now, James Lipton admitted that he used to work as a pimp in 1950s Paris.
Really?
I could totally see him doing that.
Wow.
I really could. What is your favorite
swear word during sex? You don't have to answer that. I could hear you.
What sound or noise do you love?
I know what sounds he grew to love.
Oh, God.
Right. Okay.
Ooh.
Mon Dieu.
Je t'aime. Okay. Bonjour.
Prostitutes don't say je t'aime.
No.
It's not.
That's okay.
You took all the other French phrases. That was all I could think of to blurt out.
Well, mon Dieu is oh God,
right.
Basically.
Right.
My God. Yeah.
Whatever, La Boite.
Uh-huh.
John Bon Jovi has issued a stern warning to Justin Bieber for letting down his fans earlier this spring. He said he risks being a hole for his disappointing behavior.
Disappointed.
Right. He is disappointed. In the kids today. He was nearly 2 hours late for a concert recently in London.
Mm.
Bon Jovi said, it's not really not cool. You are a hole. Go to work.
Okay.
Right. All right, this, I have to say, is maybe the weirdest celebrity story I have seen of late. Because, as you know, I don't really leave my house.
Ever.
If you can help
I'm surprised you haven't ordered someone put in an ISDN line into your house so that you don't have to leave it in the morning.
That's right. You'd be here in Captain America's underpants. I'll be home.
In your jammies.
Yes, this was a Kate Hudson. Stunned guest at her husband Matt Bellamy's band, the band Muse. Anybody? Anybody?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they did a song called Uprising. We play it on the show.
Oh, of course we do.
I'll play it when we go into the break. You'll hear it.
They had a debauched party at Cirque de l'Or. It was an after party, as the kids do in the bands. Yeah. She crushed a lit cigar on a performer Bambi Blue's mouth. It was a... the actress got stuck in a lift with two dwarves wearing giant prosthetic baby heads on her arrival.
As you do.
Huh. She then encouraged Muse drummer Dom Howard to staple specially made Muse dollars to a sexy performer's bottom. Is this what people
staple?
Do after dark? Yes. This is the band called upon A-list club Cirque de l'Or to shock guests with controversial acts based around their anti-corporate greed theme at the wild party.
Now, you know what? I think this is filed under the expression "nothing good ever happens after 2 a.m." This is the sort of thing that happens after 2 a.m.
Or drinking games with brown liquor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Entertainment included a bearded lady striptease, a troupe of crybaby dwarves with mouths stuffed with Muse dollars.
Okay, this is a Stefan skit.
Right. A pair of sexy gambling pigs. A cat lady writhing around in glowing milk, and dwarves carrying bowls of white powder on their heads.
Carrying bowls of white powder.
This is totally Stefan. Oh, God.
Yeah, if I did leave my house for that, I would really never come out again. I'd be like, okay. All right, Jerry Lewis remains a douche.
An a-hole?
Mm-hmm. He just went to a con. He told reporters that his earlier stated feelings have not changed in recent years. Comedy is not for women.
Mm.
A day after his comments roiled women across the internet, he was not apologetic, saying he sees females as mothers, not stand-ups. It's the truth. I can't help it. He says, women, it's just wrong. I don't care that the audience laughs at it and likes it. I don't happen to like it. I have too much respect for the gender.
What?
Yeah, us too for you. And I think they are wrong in doing it. I can't expect them to stop working. But just don't work anywhere where I have to look at it.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't have to see that. That is gross.
Well, you know, with a comedic genius like Jerry Lewis.
Right. Hard to write that. Tina Fey could never write that. Could never write the flavor. Right, exactly.
With the hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Stop with the hurting, Miss Lane.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson experienced a fun pain when his genitals became swollen after surgery.
What?
Wow, maybe he and Rihanna.
He said
there was also a lot of fun swelling in the cash and prizes area for the first week and a half. Those were sexy times. A lot of fun pain to go through. He had some sort of surgery for, I don't know, injuries from being The Rock.
Sure.
Fast and Furious movies, you know, whatever. Yeah, and they swole up to the size of...
Wow.
I don't know. I think, you know what, we are just in an age of oversharing. That's all there is to say about that.
Yeah.
For instance, I don't know why I need to know this, but I do. The truth about Katy Perry's boobs, Jim.
Oh.
This will wake you up.
Hello.
She's been lugging around some XX baggage for a long time. Childhood pals say she was so top-heavy, she wore two bras to school.
Damn.
Okay.
I think she was in high school when I was living in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
91, 92?
Right? No, oh, she'd be later than that, I think.
A lot of work for you.
You could have helped her hold those up, Jim.
Yeah. Santa Barbara Police Department might have been.
might have had something to say about that.
Had a thing or two to say about a thing or two. Oh, Lord. Okay. By the way, this is kind of a big deal in Hollywood. A Hollywood Reporter tells us theater owners are demanding shorter movie trailers. And I agree. Are they getting as long as the movie, or is Grandma just getting persnickety?
Oh, it's not. It was much worse than that in, like, the 50s and 60s.
Really?
It seemed like they went on for hours.
Well,
they
also
had movie.
They also had newsreels and cartoons and everything before movies back then.
No, and dancing cigarettes.
The trailers themselves, they you know, pretty much showed you the whole movie.
Huh. Yeah, the National Association of Theater Owners is pushing for new marketing rules that include limiting the length of the movie trailer to 2 minutes.
All right. Which, I should deal with that.
This is a movie. It's got people in it. Go see it.
No, there is. It's gotten over the line. Grandma sometimes drops her Werther's in disgust. I'm like, now I know the whole movie. I don't have to see it. It's enough already. Harumph. Okay.
Poor thing.
All right. God bless my heart. 44 minutes after the hour.
This is Muse, by the way, that we're going to play
great.
Here.
Great. Awesome. Okay. Good. Yeah. Good. I will dance like a baby dwarf to it.
There you go.
Okay.
Writhe around in glowing milk like a some woman dressed as a cat.
I'm too old.
It's the thing a woman dressed as a cat writhes around in milk.
I'm too old to be alive. 44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Turns out, the revolution will not be televised. It's on the radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, this is a story.
Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Keep Mama company, won't you? Jim had to go to a thing with a guy with a voice situation.
Voice thing.
Something.
I'm here.
I know. Whatever. Like, that helps.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just a meathead.
Tomorrow, as our hate letter called you. Tomorrow, Friday's with sexy liberal John Fugelson.
Absolutely.
Yay.
And Dean Obadala.
Oh, that's right. Comedian extraordinary. Wrote a great piece. He's one of my CNN buddies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, I think I'm on CNN tonight. I will let you know if I know by the end of the show.
Yeah, you never really know if you are or not, right?
It's a you know, breaking news kind of thing. I frequently get bumped.
Okay. So you're just a filler if there's no breaking news.
Right. I'm you know, packing material.
Great.
Okay. Helen writes, by the way, and Helen, I am disappointed. Disappointed in you.
Disappointed?
Yes. Steph, because this is a very important thing about the fine sponsors of the Stephanie Miller Show,
okay,
including Angie's List. Steph, did you know Angie's List sponsors Rush Limbaugh? I think I heard you do a commercial for them. I stopped my subscription with Angie's List when they refused to drop support of Limbaugh. It's a great service, but I'm surprised you would support Angie's List. All right, Helen, Helen, listen to me, you fine American. Here's how you support shows like, you know,
Stephanie Miller.
You go to reapply to Angie's List and you type Stephanie in the box.
That's
not
right.
Rush. It hurts me too when you drop the same spot the sponsors that sponsor my show as well.
It hurts everybody.
Yes, a lot of the advertisers buy a lot of different shows. Just so you know, so don't protest by dropping the advertiser. Angie's List is great. I use them for all kinds of stuff because I've made like a lot of, as you know. Well, in general, horrible decisions in my life, but particularly regarding home repairs.
Yes, you have. And drapes.
Right? Oof. No, my drapes are good.
Right, but your old drapes.
Oh, right, right. Ooh. That's my point. That's my point. Yeah. I got my new drapes through
Thank
Angie's
God.
List. Okay. Do it, Helen. Do it. Resubscribe, type Stephanie. Okay. By the way, speaking of friends of the Stephanie Miller Show, did you see Larry King? We're going to try to get him on. He has a new show. You know, he's a fan of the Putin.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
Pooty Poot.
I love Gawker says prehistoric fertility god.
Well, he has
and
pumped out a
former CNN host Larry King, bringing his current show to Russia Today. Adding another show, Politics with Larry King. You know I love my Larry.
Mm-hmm. Russia Today is a cable channel, correct?
Right.
Okay.
I believe it's like news and YouTube channel.
Okay.
He explained it's a love story, a little bit of a love story, he and Pooty Poot. He said, I can't explain it. I had an affinity with him. You try to get that with a lot of guests, but I really had it with Putin. He has it, whatever it is. You know, there are certain people that come into your life that you like. They change a room. They have a certain magnetism. He also noted that power is an aphrodisiac.
Oh.
I mean, he didn't make out with him like he did Marlon Brando, but...
Or Katie Couric.
Right.
Didn't he go on a date with Katie Couric?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. All right. Oh, we wish him well, and I can't wait to get him back on. I miss my Larry. So good luck to him.
Mm-hmm. That's where you met Aisha Tyler.
That's right. I can't remember what. Oh, we were bitch slapping. Who was it? Poor little somebody. Ben Ferguson. Somebody has never been the same since that.
Oh.
Since they accidentally booked Aisha and I to gang up on some poor beleaguered little right winger.
Ben Ferguson has a crush on you.
Yeah.
He's like 23 years old, and he's like, and we were next to him at like the Republican National Convention or something.
Yes.
Broadcasting next booth over.
And you're right. I did out of the corner of my eye catch him kind of going.
You're real pretty. I love your show. Yeah.
I don't agree with anything you say, but...
You're pretty.
All right.
You make my pants tight.
That's like his Mrs. Robinson.
I know.
I don't know. Cuckoo-ca-choo. All right. We have been talking about... It's almost... May ends this week. It's going to be June next month. What's June? It's marriage equality time at the Supreme Court, everybody. And Jen Abrams is her name. She wrote a great piece, but I thought it makes a lot of sense why we at least have to have good rulings there. She wrote a piece called It Cost My Family $3,000 to Be Queer This Month. And she's married.
Oh, wow.
She's legally married. Yeah, she said even though gay marriage is legal in New York, it's far from equal. She writes, this month my wife, because a lot of times people go, I don't get any special rights. Why do they have to? Listen, this month my wife Catherine and I spent $3,000 to adopt the child we gave birth to. Even though we are legally married in the state of New York, Catherine's parenthood will not be fully recognized without this adoption. I mean, plus look at all the awful straight parents there are in the world.
Right.
Listen to this. The Defense of Marriage Act allows other states to refuse to recognize our marriage. Without the adoption, if we visited Eddie's grandparents in Wisconsin, Catherine couldn't make medical decisions for Eddie. I mean, imagine yourself if you're a straight person listening right now, if you had to do this with your kids. She couldn't sign a release form for Eddie to play at a gym. If I were in a car accident, the state could take custody of Eddie until her next legal of kin, my immediate family, arrived from Boston. Pause to imagine that for a minute. I'm unconscious in the hospital. My wife is perfectly fine. But the state takes our daughter away from her mother and places her in the care of strangers because DOMA allows them to decide that that scenario is better for a traumatized infant. But there are two cases at the Supreme Court right now. She says that she solved that problem. And she's talking about even with the most positive ruling in both those cases, she said even the broadest possible positive ruling on both of them will still allow states to determine on a state-by-state basis whether my marriage is in fact legal.
Yeah.
In order for Catherine to legally adopt the child we gave birth to, both of us must be evaluated by a social worker who visits our home to determine if we're fit to parent our own daughter. That evaluation includes questions about our religion, our plans for disciplining our child. Bet you'd find that conversation with a stranger holding a clipboard relaxing, right? It gets better, though. After that, Catherine has to be fingerprinted and background checked. Then we both have to stand in front of a judge who's empowered to say whether or not we are a family. Think it stops there? Strike three. Last fall, we also had to spend another $1,500 to draw up powers of attorney, health care proxies, and a bunch of other documents to kind of sort of duplicate the suite of rights that straight couples get for the cost of a $35 marriage license. Yep, marriage equality actually costs $4,500. She ends by saying, legal marriage in New York State was a fantastic, amazing first step, but we still have further to go if we want to make marriage equality live up to its promise.
Mm.
I challenge you, straight gay Republican Democrat, to say if that's fair as an American.
I don't think it's fair.
We're going to create, I'm telling you, a patchwork of all these unequal, you know, laws across the states. And how is that small government? I don't get it.
Yeah.
You small government folk.
And also, there's the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution, where if something is something is recognized in one state, it has to be recognized in all states.
Right.
Because
it's
country.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous to cross a border of some sort and not be married anymore.
Exactly.
Or not have any rights regarding your own child. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
All right. Jay Carney, the president's Carney, talking about the economy yesterday.
We believe that the economy is continuing to recover and continuing to strengthen in the aftermath of the worst recession since the Great Depression.
Yes. Now if we could only, undo the sequester and actually get to work helping. We talked about yesterday consumer confidence at the highest it's been in 5 years. Housing is rebounding.
Yep.
I mean, if only we could get a little help
from
the backstage congressional crew.
A friend of mine in San Diego is a civilian worker for the Navy. He's an environmental engineer. He just got his furlough letter yesterday.
Joy.
Yeah, and so it's like, what do you do after that?
Right.
You have no income.
And if they would stop, I can't believe Daryl Issa just sent another subpoena about Benghazi. When, for instance... They might want to get to work on things like, China stealing all of our,
defense plans?
Right, defense plans. Jay Carney.
But they're seeing that you've got
Sorry, this is Jay Carney.
What we have been seeking from China is for it to investigate our concerns and to start a dialogue with us on cyber issues. But I want to reiterate, and you've heard it from the president and from senior members of his national security team, that this is a very high priority.
All right. Do not be distracted. We have important stuff going on, and I know we're all dealing with our grief over, Michelle Bachmann.
I have every confidence that if I ran, I would again defeat the individual who I defeated last year, who recently announced that he is once again running.
No, you wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You're lying, sack of crap.
You're a lying sack of crap. Yeah. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Oh, wait.
Crap.
I have to hear it again, my favorite part.
This decision was not impacted in any way by the recent inquiries into the activities of my former presidential campaign or my former presidential staff.
Right. No, of course not. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. All right, and poor Marcus, he's, you know, holding up the best he can. We keep checking in with him, and he's you know, in denial. John Fugelsang, who we'll have on tomorrow, as he once said, Michelle Bachmann, the only person against gay marriage and in one.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. He will share more of
his
parting thoughts about the Bachmanns with us tomorrow. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.